Our scripture reading this morning is Ezekiel chapter 10. Ezekiel chapter 10, verses 1 through 22. That begins on page 697 in the Pew Bible. Ezekiel chapter 10, this is the word of the Lord. Then I looked, and behold, on the expanse that was over the heads of the cherubim, there appeared above them something like a sapphire, in appearance like a throne. And he said to the man clothed in linen, "Go in among the whirling wheels underneath the cherubim. Fill your hands with burning coals from between the cherubim and scatter them over the city." And he went in before my eyes. Now the cherubim were standing on the south side of the house when the man went in, and a cloud filled the inner court. And the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub to the threshold of the house. And the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was filled with the brightness of the glory of the Lord. And the sound of the wings of the cherubim was heard as far as the outer court, like the voice of God Almighty when he speaks. And when he commanded, the man clothed in linen, "Take fire from between the whirling wheels, from between the cherubim," he went in and stood beside a wheel. And a cherub stretched out his hand from between the cherubim to the fire that was between the cherubim, and took some of it and put it into the hands of the man clothed in linen, who took it and went out. The cherubim appeared to have the form of a human hand under their wings. And I looked, and behold, there were four wheels beside the cherubim, one beside each cherub. And the appearance of the wheels was like sparkling beryl. And as for their appearance, the four had the same likeness, as if a wheel were within a wheel. When they went in any of their four directions without turning as they went. But in whatever direction the front wheel faced, the others followed without turning as they went. And their whole body, their rims and their spokes, their wings and the wheels were full of eyes all around. The wheels that the four of them had. As for the wheels, they were called in my hearing the whirling wheels, and everyone had four faces. The first face was the face of the cherub, and the second face was a human face, and the third the face of a lion, and the fourth the face of an eagle. And the cherubim mounted up. These were the living creatures that I saw by the Kabar canal. And when the cherubim went, the wheels went beside them. And when the cherubim lifted up their wings to mount up from the earth, the wheels did not turn from beside them. When they stood still, these stood still. And when they mounted up, these mounted up with them. For the spirit of the living creatures was in them. Then the glory of the Lord went out from the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubim. And the cherubim lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth before my eyes as they went out, with the wheels beside them. And they stood at the entrance of the east gate of the house of the Lord, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them. These were the living creatures that I saw underneath the God of Israel by the Kabar canal, and I knew that they were cherubim. Each had four faces, and each four wings, and underneath their wings the likeness of human hands. And as for the likeness of their faces, they were the same faces whose appearance I had seen by the Kabar canal. Each one of them went straight forward. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you. the great promise of Scripture is summarized for us in the book of Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 26, verse 11, where the Lord says, "I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people." This promise was first fulfilled in the tabernacle built by Moses, and later in the temple built by Solomon. But in Ezekiel chapter 10, that promise is called into question as the Lord forsakes his dwelling among his people. What Ezekiel sees in chapter 10 is what he saw in chapter 1, the heavenly throne of God upon earth. That throne is a chariot throne, for it moves upon the earth, seated upon wings and wheels. Of this chariot throne, David sang. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 10. "He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He was seen on the wings of the wind. Out of the brightness before him, coals of fire flamed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice." The vision of Ezekiel closely resembles the song of David. For not only does Ezekiel see the throne of God upon the wings of cherubim, he also sees coals of fire in their midst and hears the thunderous sound of God's voice. Ezekiel beholds the throne of heaven. That this throne which Ezekiel sees is the throne of heaven is also clear from its similarity to what we read in Revelation chapter 4. What Ezekiel sees in Ezekiel chapter 10 is very similar to what God sees in Revelation chapter 4. In Revelation chapter 4, the apostle is lifted up by the Spirit into heaven. And there he sees a throne with one seated on the throne. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire. And beneath the throne was a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first like a lion, the second like an ox, the third with the face of a man, and the fourth like an eagle in flight. The vision of Ezekiel closely resembles the vision of John. Like John, Ezekiel sees the throne of God above an expanse like crystal. And with the throne, four creatures full of eyes, with faces like the face of a man, and a lion, and an ox, and an eagle. And in their midst, he sees a burning fire. Ezekiel sees the throne of heaven. But whereas John sees that throne standing in heaven, here, Ezekiel sees that throne standing on earth, which reminds us of the promise that God would make his dwelling among his people. The throne which Ezekiel sees here is the heavenly reality of which the most holy place of the temple was but a copy and shadow. Both the tabernacle and the temple were built according to the heavenly pattern. The most holy place of the tabernacle, the most holy place of the temple, it was a copy and shadow of the invisible heavens. For in the most holy place was the Ark of the Covenant. And overshadowing the ark were two cherubim. Overshadowing the ark were two cherubim with wings outstretched. And upon these cherubim, the Lord was enthroned. We read of this in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 2, where it says that the ark of God was called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who sits enthroned on the cherubim. The ark of the most holy place was a copy and shadow of the throne of heaven. This is why when the tabernacle and temple were completed, they were filled with the glory of the Lord. For he was taking up his seat upon his throne in the midst of his people. We see this in Exodus chapter 40, after the completion of the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And we see this again in 1 Kings chapter 8, after the completion of the temple. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10, and when the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. The presence of the cloud, it was the presence of the Lord. In Exodus chapter 40, and in 1 Kings chapter 8, the glory of the Lord comes down from heaven to make his dwelling among his people. The ark in the most holy place, with the Lord of hosts seated upon the cherubim, it was a copy and shadow of the throne in heaven. Now in Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel does not identify the four creatures as cherubim. But in Ezekiel chapter 10, he does. Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 20. These were the living creatures that I saw underneath the God of Israel by the Kabar canal. And I knew that they were cherubim. Why is it that Ezekiel did not know at first that they were cherubim? And why is it that he now knows that they were cherubim? Well, in chapter 1, where was Ezekiel when he saw the four living creatures? In chapter 1, Ezekiel was in exile when he saw the throne upon the four living creatures. But here in chapter 10, where is Ezekiel? In chapter 10, Ezekiel is in the temple when he sees the throne upon the four living creatures. And so as Ezekiel sees the glory of the Lord upon the carved cherubim of the ark, he understands that he is beholding the throne of God upon the living cherubim of heaven. Ezekiel sees the earthly copy and the heavenly reality together. But why has the throne of heaven descended to the temple on earth? Why has the throne of heaven come down to the temple in Jerusalem? Is this the ultimate fulfillment of that promise from Leviticus? The dwelling place of God with man. We know that it is not. For in Ezekiel chapter 10, the throne of heaven does not descend to earth that God might dwell with his people, but rather the throne of heaven descends to earth that God might remove his presence from his people. What happens to the glory of the Lord in Ezekiel chapter 10? The glory of the Lord goes up from the cherubim of the ark in the most holy place and stands at the threshold of the house. And the house is filled with the cloud, and the court is filled with the glory of the Lord. But now the glory of the Lord is not entering the threshold of the house, but rather the glory of the Lord is leaving the threshold of the house. Verse 18, then the glory of the Lord went out from the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubim. This is why the chariot throne of heaven has descended to the earth. Not to bring the Lord to earth, but to carry away the Lord from earth. Not to bring the glory of the Lord upon the temple, but to carry away the glory of the Lord from the temple. In Ezekiel chapter 10, the chariot throne of heaven descends to earth to carry away the Lord as the glory of the Lord departs from the temple. The departure of the glory of the Lord from the temple is the judgment of God upon his people. A judgment symbolized when the man in linen scatters over Jerusalem burning coals taken from between the cherubim. In Ezekiel chapter 10, the Lord assures his people that he has forsaken his dwelling place among them, and that all that remains for them is to be burned. And when that fire burns, they may know that it is a fire from the Lord, a fire from heaven. In Ezekiel chapter 10, the Lord forsakes his dwelling place among his people. It is the judgment of the Lord against his people.
But why? Why would the Lord judge his people in this way? Because of their sin. Because of their sin, which was very great. And so we are left to wonder. We are left to wonder, how will God make his dwelling among his people when he cannot dwell in the midst of sin? How will God make his dwelling among his people when the sin of his people requires him to forsake his dwelling among them? Ezekiel chapter 10 leaves us to wonder. But one thing we do know, whatever else we do not know, one thing we do know, God is faithful. God is faithful to keep his promises. He does not lie. He cannot lie. What he has sworn, he will fulfill. What he has promised, he will keep. But how? Ezekiel chapter 10 leaves us to wonder how. Ezekiel chapter 10 leaves us with a mystery. The mystery of Ezekiel chapter 10 is the mystery of Christ. A mystery that has now been made known. For in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. In the incarnation, Christ became the dwelling place of God on earth. The glory of the Lord, which had departed from the temple. The glory of the Lord filled Christ. That glory was revealed in the transfiguration, when his face shone like the sun, when a cloud rested upon him, when a voice from that cloud declared, "This is my beloved Son." Christ Jesus was the dwelling place of God on earth. Christ Jesus was the dwelling place of God among his people. for the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But he did not come in glory. He came in humility. He did not come in power. He came in weakness. For he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to suffer for the sins of his people. He came to endure the judgment of God against his people. And so he became obedient unto death, unto death on a cross. And on that cross, the judgment of Ezekiel chapter 10 fell upon him. For on the cross, the glory of the Lord departed from him. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? On the cross, the Lord forsook his dwelling among men. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. The sin which kept God from making his dwelling among his people, that sin has been overcome in Christ. Christ has borne its guilt. Christ has robbed its power. And he has been raised as the temple of glory. And he has been filled with the Spirit beyond measure. And so you have this assurance in Christ. The glory of the Lord will never depart from his temple again. The glory of the Lord will never depart from his temple again, for Christ is the cornerstone of that temple. And the glory of the Lord is the glory of Christ. This truth
is a comfort to you. But it is also a warning to you. The comfort is this, that Christ is the head of the church. And the church is the body of Christ. Christ, who is alive forevermore, cannot be severed from his body. For the head cannot be severed from the body and live. And so the church cannot be severed from Christ. The glory of the Lord will never depart from the church again. But here is the warning. There is no glory outside of Christ. And though the glory of the Lord will never depart from the church, it does not mean that the glory of the Lord will never depart from a church. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, it is the resurrected and exalted Christ who warns the church in Ephesus. I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. If you refuse to repent, do not presume upon the grace of God. But here again is the comfort. For whatever your sin is, you may confess it to the Lord. For with the Lord, there is forgiveness. And in Christ, there dwells a glory that can never be taken away. Amen. Let us pray.